Let us turn again tonight to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, we'll read from verse 25 to verse 32. Verse 25 to verse 32. Let us hear God's word. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Remove from me the way of life, and grant me thy law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck unto thy testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments, when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Amen. May the Lord help us and speak to us through his word. We'll just be a few moments tonight. I'm very conscious of the heat, but I'm reminded that where Stephen is in Senegal, it's about the same temperature, so perhaps we're just being reminded of what it's like for Stephen in Senegal tonight. Well, just be a few moments. Let's turn to verse 29. Remove from me the way of lying, and grant me thy law graciously. Remove from me the way of lying, and grant me thy law graciously. Dear congregation, the true child of God desires help on their journey as they go down the narrow way. Their desire is to go forth in the way of truth, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Often reminded of those words of the Apostle in 2 Corinthians 7 verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Aiming at holiness, we'll never be perfect here upon earth, but that aim to complete, to perfect holiness, our daily occupation. Dear brethren, do not we want to please the Lord and be more holy? Therefore we need to seek help from above and flee everything which is false and refrain from any deceit. Knowing our weakness, do not we, like David here in verse 29, call in the help of the Lord. Remove from me the way of life, and grant me thy law graciously. How we need the Lord's help. Well, look back and consider the way the Lord has helped you when you've been in the valley of temptation. Yes, sadly at times, we have yielded to temptation. But consider those times when the Lord has helped you in that veil of temptation. And he's made you strong without any shadow of doubt. As we note this verse tonight, it's all of grace. Not for any worth in ourselves. It's all of grace. We've been helped in the veil of temptation. We've been helped to say that which is right. Well, as we come to these words tonight, I'd like us to consider, first of all, in mercy, take away. And then secondly, in grace, give. In mercy, take away. And then secondly, in grace, give. Remove from me the way of life, and grant me thy law graciously. Well, let's consider first of all tonight then. In mercy, take away. Remove from me the way of life. As we know, there is much deceit in this world. There is that which is false, and there are many lies. And sadly, we ourselves at times can stumble into bearing false witness. Remove for me the way of life, and grant me thy law graciously. Consider how the psalmist is making his plea. Remove, take away from me the way of lying. As we think of this first point tonight, as the Puritan Thomas Manton points out, it is by some taken generally, and then by others more particularly. We can think of this in a general way, and then particularly focusing on lying itself. Well, let's think of the way of lying generally. Remove for me the way of lying. There is the way of falsehood in contrast to the way of truth there in verse 13. Notice the contrast there. Remove for me the way of lying, verse 29. The contrast is verse 30. I have chosen the way of truth. Through the grace of God and the Holy Spirit, so using the word, the psalmist has chosen the way of truth. Well, in contrast, go back to verse 29. Remove for me the way of lying. We have again this word way. The Hebrew word is derech, which is translated here as way. It speaks of a course of action, a road, a way. But there are a number of dangerous paths in this world. Last evening we were walking at Hainsbury Head on the top, and we went down this pathway. It's a fairly new pathway. And why is it a new pathway? Because the old pathway, which is nearer to the cliff now, is dangerous. A number of decades ago, I used to walk on that pathway, and there was no danger. Plenty of grass the other side, but over the years, the cliffs have eroded, and so now the way is blocked off. And anybody who goes down there goes down a dangerous path. There are a number of dangerous pathways, ways which have never been good in this world. Now we could consider the broad way, which leadeth unto destruction, which our Lord made known in Matthew chapter 7. But that's not what we're particularly thinking of here. Plainly, the psalmist is asking, remove from me the way of lying. He's a believer. He's on the narrow path. Remove from me the way of lying. It's a path. It's a way of lying. The Hebrew word, sekher, means a sham, false, deceit, vain. It's a sham that way. It's a false way. It's a deceitful way, or a way of deceit and lying. Matthew Henry speaks of a course of lying. There was falsehood all around in David's day, and so there is in ours. Well, let's think then of this way of lying generally. First of all, a way that is false is a way of sin. A way that is false is a way of sin. Now in a moment we'll particularly consider lying. Well, we know it is bearing false witness. It's sin. Well, let's generally think then, the way of lying, it's the false way, the deceitful way. It's a sham. It's not good. It's a way of sin. Thomas Manton, the Puritan, again says, a way of sinning is a way of lying. It's a deceitful way. Think of the happiness it promises, but it's not true happiness. Yet many are drawn into pathways of sin, hoping to be happy. Turn with me to Proverbs 1, verse 10. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for bread, blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one pass. You see that sinful way? Promising happiness. Then verse 15. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. Do not go down that false way, that way of sin. Yes, it promises happiness. That's deceit. It's a way of lying. It does not bring true happiness. Psalm 119, verse 104. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. He thinks of the ways of sin. Every false way. So then we can consider first of all here, the way, the course of sin. It's not the way of truth. Note again the contrast, verse 30. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. He so seeks to walk circumspectly in a right way compared to the way of lying. Just note the word remove. Remove for me the way of lying. The Hebrew word can be translated to roll away. Roll away that way of lying. Turn my feet that I might so walk in the right way. Remove it from me that I'm not tempted, that then I yield. Remove from me the way of lying. Does not remind you of that petition in Matthew 16, verse 13. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. What do we read here? Remove from me the way of lying. Lead us not into temptation. And if I sadly through my own sin yield to temptation, deliver me from the evil. So firstly, we can consider the way of sin. But then secondly, as we think generally here of the way of lying, false doctrine. False doctrine. You remember there was much false doctrine around in the days of the early church. There were those that said in Acts 15 verse 1, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. That was the way of lying. It was false doctrine. It's through faith alone. Not some addition of works, no. Think of all the false doctrines, the way of lying that has come before the church down through history. Wrong teaching concerning the Trinity. False views of the Trinity. There is one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, yet there have been false views of the Trinity. False teaching. There have been those who sought to deny the deity of the Son. Then consider there has been wrong teaching concerning the law. And in these last few years again, we have seen the rise of antinomianism. Wrong teaching concerning justification. It's the way of lying. Think of N.T. Wright. Justification according to Wright and others who hold to this new perspective is viewed as covenant community status. Just being in a family, that makes you justified. We're justified because of the grace of God and the righteousness of Christ imputed to us. Justification by faith alone. Been false views, wrong teaching on justification. And a number of years ago, there was the Auburn Avenue theology, adding works to faith. Adding works to faith. And then consider the false teaching of conditional immortality. Reverend Morris Roberts comments on this. This is the view that God confers the gift of immortality on believers, but annihilates, that is to say, puts out of existence all unbelievers after death. That's false teaching. It's deceiving people, isn't it? It's the way of lying. Remove from me the way of lying. And the faithful minister must make this plea and warn his people, remove from me the way of lying. So false teaching. But then thirdly, we can consider here wrong practices. Worship that is not ordained by the Lord. Remove from me the way of lying. Gill speaks of false worship. It's why churches ought to unswervingly adhere to the regulative principle. Our Lord made that abundantly plain in Matthew 28 verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And though I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. He's the king. He has the rule. He is over all. All churches ought to unswervingly adhere to the regulative principle. If we have not warrant from the Lord in Scripture, it's forbidden, plainly. Scriptural prescription will take the form of express positive commands or definite approved examples. Anything else is false. Deuteronomy 12, verse 32. What things soever I command you, observe to do it, thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it. Remove from me the way of lying. We're bringing this together. Listen to John Gill. As he speaks, comments on the way of lying. It designs all false doctrine and false worship, all errors and heresies, superstition and idolatry, which is desired to be at the utmost distance from, and those from him as having a dislike and abhorrence of them, and as knowing and how contrary to the glory of God. Well, remove from me the way of life. So much needs to be removed before our eyes, dear brethren, in this regard. Remove. Let me not be tempted by. Let me not turn from the word and go down a path of lying. So then we think of this generally. But let's now consider, secondly, the way of lying particularly. We think of it generally, the coarse way of sin, false worship, false teaching. But let's now particularly consider this way of lying. Sadly, David had deceived others in his life. You take, for example, how he deceived Achish in 1 Samuel 27 verse 10 concerning where he had been. He deceived him. It was the way of lying. And sadly at times we have broken the ninth commandment. We have been guilty. We've told lies. We've deceived. I remember walking home one summer afternoon from school. It was about a mile from the school, from Lidlinch, to the other side of Totten. And I told a lie. To begin with, I wasn't really worried. But then later, it really affected me. I was only about seven. It really affected me. I lied. What's going to happen when my mother finds out? Well, I know what happened when my mother found out. It affected me. And I never forget that lie at that age of seven. How I was convicted afterward. Well, remove from me the way of lying. You can be presented with a situation and tempted to lie to get yourself off the hook or to get yourself something you want, and you yield. What do we read here? Remove from me the way of lying. Remove it. Roll it away, Lord. When I'm tempted, roll that temptation away. Give me strength to resist. Remove from me the way of lying. Left to myself, I cannot remove that great boulder of sin. Remove from me the way of lying. Give me strength to resist. Firstly then, remove from me when temptation arises, remove it away. But then secondly, if I'm found guilty, pardon me and turn my feet to thy word. Remove from me the way of life. Humble me so that I seek fatherly forgiveness, and then give me strength to turn my feet to thy word. Remove that temptation away, Lord. Pardon me if I have been guilty of lying. Cause me to look at thy word and follow the right way. Help me to close my mouth. What do I mean? Sometimes we may be at a point where we're about to say a lie. Oh Lord, close my mouth. Psalm 141 verse 3, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Set a watch. And what a prayer that is. But we need to make that prayer. We speak so many words in a day. I don't know how many words I've said today, and you don't know how many words you've said today. All of us, we say many words. They may not all be vocal, but we, like Hannah, say many words in our hearts each day. So many words. O Lord, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Lord, thou art observing everything I say. Thou dost weigh if I am saying that to deceive or I am saying it in sincerity. Lord, thou knowest everything and I am humble. But please, Lord, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Ask the Lord. Remove for me the way of life. Set a watch and, Lord, remove that way. Keep the door of my lips. But let's consider a little further. We, like David, live in a world wherein many are lying all around us. In the workplace, in the street, we often hear people lying. You know, sometimes we meet people and they lie and then they laugh. Doesn't matter. And sometimes we've had to say, well, I can't say that. That's deceiving. We live in a world when so many are lying. Many do not seem to be bothered. Remove from me the way of lying. Silence their mouths, that I don't have to hear that lie. Remove from me the way of lying. May there be sincerity in the workplace and in the street. Oh, that many would be converted and would seek to walk in the right way. Remove from me the way of lying. A number of years ago, I heard in a certain place it was safe for children to walk late in the streets. It was safe for mothers to go out late and get their shopping. Why? Because so many have been converted. And it had an effect. The crime rate went down, and so did lying. Remove from me the way of lying. Lord, save many people. Put them on the right way, the narrow way. Remove from me the way of life. Have mercy, Lord. It's a plea for mercy, is it not? In mercy, take away. Remove from me the way of life. In mercy, keep me, Lord, from straying. In mercy, forgive my sin. In mercy, remove the way of lying. Have mercy, how we need mercy on the journey. There's so many to tempt, so many temptations come before. And then consider all that we have to put up with, all that we have to listen to. Have mercy, Lord, as I walk through this wilderness. On these hot days, we can become quite weary. And we need strength. When we're walking through the wilderness of this world, and we meet with so many things. We're confronted with much and we can become weary. We can be weary with all the lying. In mercy, take away. Remove from me the way of lying. Well, secondly, as we close now, in grace, give. Do you see it here? The taking away and the giving. Remove from me the way of lying and grant me thy law graciously. Dear brethren, just going through these verses here is teaching me how much we need the Lord and how many things we've got to pray about each and every day. Remove from me the way of lying, grant me. You know, sometimes, and yes, at times we may be a little pushed for time, we become a little general, but it's good to spend time being pacific. Remove this, Lord. Grant me that, Lord. Remove from me the way of life and grant me thy law graciously. Grant me, give me. Now you think of David here, he already had the law. In your own time, go to Deuteronomy 17, verse 18 and verse 19. I'll just read a few words from verse 19. It shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God. Verse 18, I must read it. And it shall be when he, that is the king, sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests and the Levites. And you see there plainly, the king would have the law. David had the law in light of Deuteronomy 17, verse 18 and verse 19. But consider here, he's asking for it. Dear brethren, on your laps you have the law of God. You have the Bible. Well, with the Bible in your hand, pray, Lord, give me the law. What does it mean? Like David, we're asking the Lord for something we already have. So it's more than just having the word in our hands, isn't it? Remove from me the way of life and grant me thy law graciously. What does it mean? Well, we considered earlier in this series, back in verse 18, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. David was a believer. He was knowing. He had saving knowledge. He was seeing. He had saving faith. So what does he mean? Open thou mine eyes. Give me a clearer sight. Help me to understand. Open thou mine eyes. Come back to this verse here. Grant me thy law graciously. Lord, I so desire to know it. To have it before me when I'm in the valley of temptation or in other situations. That I might know it further, that I might understand of it. And then, thirdly, that I might be aware of it in my soul and the work of it in the heart. It's heart religion, dear brethren. So many go through the motions in the state church. We desire that heart religion. Grant me thy law graciously. I have the Bible in my hands, but Lord, I so want it in my heart. That's a blessing, dear brethren. That the Lord has written his law within our heart. What a blessing. There was the work of the law, as we see in Romans chapter 2. There was conviction. But what a blessing to have the law written in our heart. And we have love for the Lord and his law. And we see the law as a rule book from Christ. It's written in our hearts. But oh, to be more aware of it in the soul. It's heart religion, dear brethren. Oh, to know it more, to see it within. Let the law, which is the rule book in the hand of Christ, so settle in my heart. Remove from me the way of life and grant me thy law graciously. How many times have we read the Bible? We should all be progressing through the Bible regularly. For some it may be a year. For some it may be two or three. We don't need to have competitions. Long as we're seeking to get through the Word of God. How many times have we read the Word of God? But oh, that the Word would be found in my heart this day. Let it settle in my soul when temptation is before mine eye. Let it settle in my heart when I'm having to listen to so many lying all around. Let the whole word of God be found often going around my soul. More of this book, Lord. Grant me thy law graciously. I want to know it more within. When a temptation arises, oh, that the word of God would come to my mind. And it would affect my heart. There is love for the word. Oh, that there will be a greater affection. When the temptation comes, a greater affection for the word, and I'm found doing that which is right and turning from the ill, grant me thy law. When I see others turning to false ways of worship, may I be the one who looks at the word and knows it within, and is at peace that, yes, this is what the Lord would have me to do. May I be reminded of the truth and what is acceptable to the Lord. Dear brethren, you just think of those words in Deuteronomy. Matthew 28, whatsoever I command you. Doesn't that bring peace? When others are saying, why do you do those things? You look to the word of the King. What is acceptable with him? That's what matters, dear brethren. Grant me thy law graciously. Whatever's a laughing, even maybe other Christians, why do those things? Grant me thy law graciously. Let it settle. Let it bring me comfort. And there are false ways of worship. Grant me thy law, Lord. When I mix with unconverted men and women and I hear their lies and I find it so difficult, grant me thy law that I might be comforted and reminded I have a wonderful friend and guide who will support me and bring me home to heaven. We have to listen to so many lies. Grant me thy law. Let it so come before mine eye, settle in my heart, that my soul might be lifted and I am helped as I go on through that time. Bring the truth to my mind and let me feel the word making its way around my heart. Do you understand that? Let me feel the word making its way around my heart. On a hot day, you're meant to drink liters of water. But what happens? You start hearing your stomach rumble. Because of all the water you've rightly taken in. There's noises within. Young ones, you know what that's like. There's noises within. There's activity. What's that noise? Your tummy's rumbling. You hear something. There's activity. Oh, that there will be activity in our hearts. The word of God, which brings such refreshment, going around our hearts. Oh, that we would know the noise of activity within our souls. Sometimes it's so quiet. I can't remember which night, I think it was Monday evening. I woke up and went out into the garden and it was so quiet. About 2 o'clock in the morning. So quiet. And you know, it was cold as well. I had to come back in quickly. It was cold underfoot. But it was so quiet. Sometimes it seems so quiet and cold in my soul. But oh, for that noise of activity, the word going around. I'm hearing lies, I'm presented with temptation, but there's the noise of activity. The word is having such an effect on my soul. The Holy Spirit is so using it. The word is at work. Grant me thy law graciously that I might know it. William Cowper wrote, "The Spirit breathes upon the word and brings the truth to sight. Precepts and promises afford a sanctifying light." The word is brought before the eye. There's activity. Remove from me the way of lying. Give me a clear vision of thy word. Some promise, some truth to help me. What a blessing when we're in the bell of temptation, when a verse comes to our minds and we say with Joseph, Genesis 39 verse 9, "How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" What a help the Ten Commandments are, dear brethren. Why does the church want to do away with them? We're not saved by the keeping of the law. No, we're under grace. But the Ten Commandments are a rule book in the hands of Christ. And what a blessing. What a blessing it is when you have a temptation before your eye and a commandment comes. The Lord's granted you the word and you flee from sin. What a blessing. What a help it is to us to have the Ten Commandments. What a blessing is the whole word of God. No wonder the psalmist said, "Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Oh, how love I thy law." You love it, so you want more of it. Matthew Henry wrote, "Those that know and love the law of God cannot but desire to know it more and love it better." It's true, isn't it? It is our desire. We want to know it more and love it better. And so we pray, "Grant me thy law graciously." We're in a veil of temptation and there's so many lying around us. There's falsehood in this world. But we love the word of God. Grant it to me. Now just as we close, what do we read at the end of the verse? "And grant me thy law graciously." Now isn't this interesting? The law and grace we can consider in the first place. Graciously given. Ah, the Ten Commandments have been graciously given for your good, dear brethren, including the fourth. But just focus on this. Grant me thy law graciously. The whole word of God graciously. It's all of grace, isn't it? Chosen by grace. Saved by grace. Upheld by grace. Delivered by grace. Granted the law, or the whole word of God, as we've been seeing, there's certain titles in this 119th Psalm which speak of the word as a whole. Granted the law by grace. What a gift of grace. You know the word in your heart. You have felt it having an effect on your soul in the hands of the Holy Spirit. It's a token of favor to you. Just think of that. Tokens of favor. When some verse comes to you and it keeps you from doing something wrong. It supports you when others are lying. And it helps you through this veil of tears. In mercy take away, but in favour grant me thy law. What a merciful God we have. And what a gracious God. How many times in mercy, having pity upon us, he has removed the way of lying. And then in favour, granted us the law. We may have been in a temptation. A verse has come. I can't do that. And then in favour, he gives you a verse to strengthen you. To encourage you in Christ. Earnestly make your plea. Remove from me the way of life and grant me thy law graciously. Let us pray.